This is Ian Taylor.
And I'm Noren Rudd of the Marvel Card Collectors Podcast.
And you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
Great pool, kid.
You found something.
You found the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
What a piece of junk.
I'm your host, Greg McLaughlin.
Just as clumsy as he is stupid.
Join me as we discuss Star Wars trading cards and card collecting.
We need a statement, not a manifesto.
We'll talk about sets from the original vintage.
No. The one I'm pointing to.
All the way to current releases.
This?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Commence primary ignition.
Welcome back, or if this is your first episode, welcome aboard. My name is Greg McLaughlin, and this is the Rebel Base Card Podcast. If this does happen to be your first show that you are listening to, a little bit of everything in tonight's show. One of the things that is coming up is we do have a few releases that are coming out this week, and so I wanted to get a chance to talk to you about those. Sometimes we would normally handle this in homestead keeping before we got into maybe an interview with an artist or whatnot. But in this case, we're pretty much going to have a whole show of little bits and pieces that really dictated giving a little more time to. So I thought I'd sit down with you tonight and kind of go over some things. We will be talking with Brent Scotchmer, sketch artist that I was able to interview last week, and we'll have kind of a preview of that interview, a great little story coming up with him in later on in the program. I also had a chance to get some interview responses back from another artist, David Rabbit, who I'll be posting the text of this interview on the website rebelbasecard.com. But because the way that the responses were, I decided to present them in sort of a spoken word form. And I thought you'll appreciate that, and you'll hear more of my questions and his answers with that, and I think you'll get a lot out of that. We will also be talking about the Rise of Skywalker Series 2, once again, that I had mentioned is coming out this week, as well as a surprise set from Topps they released for Father's Day, which will be available for a few more days. So a little bit of everything in this. Happy that you're with me, so we'll go ahead and get started.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
So kicking off this Father's Day weekend was a bit of a surprise by Topps as they released this 2020 Star Wars I Am Your Father's Day set. And I want to thank Blowout Cards for kind of putting that up on Twitter. I almost didn't recognize it when I thought, you know, at first I thought that they were putting out a tweet on a sale, and I kind of clicked on it. And I didn't realize that this was, in fact, a special online set that Topps was putting out. It was 10 cards. It was up for, it's only going to be up for a week. And so by the time you hear this, this set will only be up until Friday the 26th. So June 26th is the last day this set will be available. It is $19.99. It includes 10 cards. And they kind of have this connections kind of vibe to them because you sort of have these father figures and their sons or daughters. And so there's a 10-card set. You have the likes of Darth Vader, Princess Leia, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, The Mandalorian, The Child, Han Solo, Ben Solo. You kind of get where I'm going to. Don't want to spoil it. I'll go ahead and put up the checklist on the website at rebelbasecard.com if you want to kind of check it out. This is one of those I was kind of expecting a set like this for the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, but these are always kind of fun, and sometimes you have to gauge, especially when Topps Now or Topps Online is offering some sets. You know, sometimes they could be as much as $50. Sometimes they could be as much as $10. So it's one of those where when you're trying to do a collection or you're putting something together, what I would recommend, if there's still time, if by the chance, by the time you're hearing this, go online, check it out. They have a good gallery of the cards. You can kind of see whether that's something you want to kind of collect or not. It was amazing how fast I clicked check out and buy. But I do like these little sets. $20 for 10 cards is about $2 each per card. That's not bad. I think if it had been maybe 5 cards, I might have held back a little bit, but it was one of those where kicking off the weekend, you know, there's still, you know, you still kind of expect as maybe a parent that, yeah, as a dad, maybe I'll get a little Father's Day money. You never know. But anyway, it was something I thought it was fun. I always kind of like these. I encourage them to do so. I like this sort of has a silver border to it. So it's a pretty slick little card, and I'm kind of excited to see the rest of them come in.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
So let's go ahead and run down the stats for the Rise of Skywalker Series 2 release that happens this week, June 24th, like I had said. Each box is going to come with 24 packs and 8 cards per pack. And right now the prices are averaging anywhere from $77.95 pre-order on Blowout to $79.95 on Dave and Adam's Card World. The cases are also running anywhere from $8.99 to $9.09, so within a few bucks of each other. In those cases, that's 12 boxes per case. This is a 100 base card set, so there is a likelihood that if you buy a box, you will likely get the entire base set. Also to look for, there are 6 different insert sets. The one that collectors will be looking at, 2 hits are going to be guaranteed per box, with 1 guaranteed autograph and 1 additional hit per box. These insert sets follow a pretty typical pattern. You're going to have reds, which are numbered to 99. Bronze, this go around, numbered from 1 to 50. Silver, 1 to 25. Gold, 1 to 10. Blacks are going to be 1 to 1, and you also see numbered printing plates 1 to 1. The insert sets are Weapons, Heroes of the Resistance, Villains of the First Order. There is a 9-card puzzle foil set, and there's also a continuation of the Kylo Ren continuity. These will be cards 11 through 15. This continuity set goes back through the Rise of Skywalker Series 1, all the way back to Journey to the Rise of Skywalker. There are costume relics, and these are numbered. They'll be silver, 1 to 25, gold, 1 to 10, black, 1 of 1. There's also a Millennium Falcon relic, silver, 1 to 25, gold, 1 to 10, and black, once again, 1 to 1. And there's also a commemorative vehicle medallion. And remember that, because when you're talking about those additional hits, I think the likelihood of seeing something like this, fairly high. Once again, silvers, 1 to 25, gold numbered, 1 to 10, black, 1 of 1. You're also going to see autograph parallels, red, 1 to 99, silver, 1 to 25, gold, 1 to 10, black, 1 of 1, printing plates numbered, 1 of 1. You also see dual and triple autographs. Those are going to be numbered 1 of 1 only. And most likely also 1 of 1, you'll see a 6-person auto if you are very lucky. Interestingly enough, you're going to have standard sketch cards as well as shaped sketch cards, which I have seen, and I would love to get either or. I haven't seen a true checklist yet. I would expect to see that later. And so if you are going to be collecting this and kind of want to jot down what you have, what you need, I'd be looking to... not only Cardboard Connection, but Blowout or Beckett, just in case. You should be able to pick that up. I may be working on my own spreadsheet checklist of this. And one of the things when we are talking about, you know, there are different sets that are coming out this week. We are kind of getting into, you know, we're getting into some of the releases. You know, it's been kind of quiet these last few months. I know I've been kind of hitting eBay to kind of fill some holes. Always a good time to work on the holes in your collection in between releases. If I go for the Rise of Skywalker, I hadn't quite put my pre-order in yet, but I might go ahead here pretty soon before the release day, just to make sure I maybe lock in that price. But when you're talking about a box that, you know, the 24 packs, 8 packs to a box, that could be the whole base set, and then that way I kind of take care of it all at once. And then I might, you know, take some of my dupes if I get, and or work on some of the insert sets from there. I always kind of prize the base, complete base set over the insert sets, but it just kind of depends on some of the trading partners out there and what you kind of feel like. I always kind of like the Series 2 sets because, whereas Series 1 is more character-driven because of maybe the lack of images, or they don't necessarily want to give away points in a movie for folks who haven't seen it yet, we're well past the release date, so a Series 2 generally has a lot more scenes from the movie and is a little more pleasing to the eye. This kind of finishes up, once again, as like I said, it finishes up the Skywalker saga. For the movies, we won't see a movie for a while, so, you know, the nostalgia is there to kind of, you know, wrap up as I kind of look at my binders of all these movies, and especially since the Disney releases, you know, this is a nice bookend one. So it's not a set I'm going to overlook. As I have talked to some other collectors, they will point out to me that a lot of times these Series 2 cards don't get large print runs, and so that may make them hard to find later. If you are not necessarily interested in the hits and you're just looking for the base sets, you could wait until a week or two when some of these bigger collectors will go after the cases, and once they're done, they'll likely put up those base sets on eBay, and you could find them at a pretty decent cost. That is sort of if you are not that even interested in cracking packs, you just kind of want the cards. I've been kind of going back and forth, but you know, when you're kind of looking at, you know, cracking open the Star Wars movie cards, like I said, this kind of comes up my alley. This is something I would kind of want to do anyway. I like getting them early. I'd like to, you know, get a chance to talk to them, kind of give you my review of them, and we'll see. So I would expect if I put a pre-order in this week, I would probably get it within a week or so. So we'll see what happens there. The other reason I kind of bring this up is because we're going to have some releases that are going to be kind of on top of each other, only because of the way the calendar kind of went out this year. Also this week, we also have the Authentic Autographs 8x10. Those are also dropping around the same time. I think they're originally scheduled for this week. They may slip as much into July. Some people like going after these because you're basically going to get an autographed 8x10 plus an exclusive card to that set. And there are some pretty heavy hitters when you're talking about the autographs that are available in this one. Anyone from Adam Driver, Aaron Aldenreich, Ben Burt, Billy Dee Williams, Daisy Ridley, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. So Harrison Ford's in this, Ian McDiarmid, so John Boyega. So you have a lot of great signers in this. And for $99.95 a pop, you're going to get a guaranteed autograph plus a very cool exclusive card to that. So some folks who are kind of like chasing autographs or just want that, they might be saying, hey, look, maybe I want to just work on this instead of getting the cards, or I'm going to get the autograph plus the card. So that's something also when you're talking about how you are budgeting yourself this year, and I am no different from you as far as that concern. We don't have the unlimited bank account, so some things are we going to get now, some things are we going to hold off on. That kind of goes in the mix as well. Other releases that are coming up, we do have Chrome Perspectives, Resistance versus the First Order, that comes out right now. It's scheduled for August 5th, and these are going to be 18 packs per box, 6 cards per pack. This is a $67.95 pre-order on Blowout so far. This is a 100-card base set, and this is going to be one of those themed sets, so you're going to see basically Resistance and First Order type cards. You'll see 3 different insert sets. There's going to be 1 autograph per box and 2 sketch cards per case. So you could see some sketch cards and some autograph cards in there. Like I said, it depends on what you're kind of looking for when you're collecting. If you are not necessarily into the sequel trilogy cards, this might be one definitely you're going to take a pass on. If you are looking for, well, you know, maybe $100 or $70 or $80 is getting up there in price, but I do like to get some current cards. Some of these boxes, like you saw with the Return of the Jedi Black and White, or the upcoming Mandalorian, which comes out in November, and these are Women of Star Wars, where you have basically 50 to 70 box per pack. You're not necessarily going to get the whole set, but maybe you can kind of trade around with your friends. That might hit a price point that is more acceptable to some folks. We also have the Holocron series, which is coming out in September. This is going to be a huge 200-card base set, plus 3 different inserts. It's going to also give you about 18 packs per box, 8 cards per pack. Right now, it's trending in about a $65 pre-order. You'll also get an autograph or sketch card per box guaranteed. So some folks may skip Chrome Perspectives and say, well, if I've got a better chance to get a sketch card, I might go for Holocron series. And I might just say, you know, maybe I don't want the Rise of Skywalker or Chrome Perspectives. I want to kind of save my pennies for that. Once again, it's a smaller, you're going to get a decent amount of cards per box. The box is a smaller price point, and maybe you don't necessarily worry about the whole base set. The big one that a lot of folks are going to be going after, and one that may warrant some pre-orders or saving up for pre-orders, of course, is the November 4th Mandalorian Season 1 set. And this is going to be a 100-card base set, but these boxes are only going to have 7 packs and 8 cards per pack. $64 pre-order, averaging. You're going to get the whole story of the Mandalorian Season 1. You're going to have autograph signers. You're going to have sketch cards. So this is one where a lot of folks may want to get the whole set. And so in which case, you may have to get multiple boxes, since you're unlikely to get the full base set in that one box of 7 packs. So once again, when you are trying to budget yourself for cards, you have to kind of find out, is it more of a value proposition? Or if this is a set I really want, I may take a pass, go back later when the prices maybe drop, or if I can get a set off of eBay and some of the inserts, maybe even buy some of the autographs that are released later. So boom, boom, boom. And that doesn't even bring up the fact that we may have a Masterwork set in December. So one of those when you're kind of looking through, and I'll kind of be talking about this through the year, sometimes you have to kind of pick and choose what sets you want. I don't think even Topps thinks you're going to get all of them. They would like it if you got all of them. I would like to get all of them. But sometimes I kind of have to pick and choose what I want, and sometimes timing is everything. And that kind of goes back, if I want to kind of tie this back into the Rise of Skywalker, you know, had this set come out a little earlier, you know, if it was going to originally come out in April, that wasn't going to be too long after the Women of Star Wars set came out. So it might have been kind of tough to get this if you were trying to chase Women of Star Wars. So this coming out in June, you know, it may be one that where, hey, maybe us dads spend a little bit of that Father's Day money and get the box and kind of be done with it, trade off a little dupes, and enjoy the ripping the last of the Skywalker Saga cards. If you are maybe wanting to pick and choose, you might go after a Chrome Perspectives or Holocron if those prices, you're going to get 18 packs, but you're going to be paying a little bit less. I know that with a 200-card base set for that Holocron series, that kind of reminds me more of the Galactic File set, where that's a huge base set. And so in which case, you know, that might be tough to fill that set, and might have to crack out a new binder or get a new shelf. But it's one of those things when you're kind of looking back and forth, and I don't want to repeat myself. I'll put all this on the website. Maybe take a couple of moments, think about, you know, something like with the Father's Day set or something online where it's more of an impulse buy, like I'm in line at Target. It's a little easier to pull that trigger on it. With some of these sets, decide for yourself what you want to chase. Is it going to be worth it? Think about if you're wanting to go for a complete set, how much is it going to be in the end? What's the best way to do it? Do I hold off thinking that they'll probably still be there? Do I want to grab it thinking that it may be gone? Do I definitely want a sketch card? Do I want an autograph? Do I want the full set? Am I going to go after those inserts? And who do I know that's also chasing these? Good questions all. So when you're thinking about this, I hope this helps a little bit. Once again, I'll put some of this information on the website so you can kind of gauge for yourself, and good luck out there.
Hi, this is Dominic Pace, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid.
So one of the things I've really enjoyed about doing the podcast is often when I talk to artists or other folks in the community, I'll get a lot of referrals to talk to, you know, such and such or this artist or that person. And so it sort of makes this nice little spider web for me to kind of go out and find folks that I maybe either wouldn't be able to find on my own or, you know, just needed the introduction for. And I once again, I appreciate everybody who has helped me either say, hey, oh, I know that person, oh, I'll put in a good word for you, or hey, I think you should really talk to this person. And one of the folks that I was given to want to try to track down and talk to was a artist by the name of David Rabbit. And, you know, a lot of times the schedules just don't either work out, or hey, look, this is the only thing I can do is I can answer some questions, but I don't really have the time to come on and talk. And so in which case, I'll take anything I can get. But I enjoy learning more. I enjoy finding out about not only sketch cards, but the artist and the process behind. In order to give you a little context and more about David Rabbit, I will read from his bio on his website, davidrabbit.com. David Rabbit, concept artist, illustrator, and animator, was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and lived in the U.S. until his parents decided to move the family back to their roots in Ireland when he was 8. David lived there for 16 years, for the most part residing in the quiet countryside in County Galloway before moving to Dublin in 89 to study graphic design, illustration, and animation. After completing art school, David soon landed a job as a background painter on Don Bluth Ireland Limited Animation Studio in 1993, working on his first feature, The Pebble and the Penguin. A year later, Bluth moved his crew to the U.S. in Phoenix, Arizona, where they worked under 20th Century Fox's new Fox Animation Studios. It was there that David worked as a background painter and concept artist on such features as Anastasia, Bartok the Magnificent, and Titan A.E. Since then, David has continued to work in various studios, most notably Fat Can Animations, on such projects as Fat Albert, Curious George, and the award-winning short Rendon the Puffer, as well as working in freelance illustration for various well-known clients such as Lucasfilm, Titan Publishing, Marvel, Byron Press Books, Tops, Upper Deck, Inkworks, Sabretooth Games, Decipher, Fantasy Flight Games, to name a few.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm a radar technician, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
And so when I was kind of looking at the responses I did get back from David Rabbit, I was going to put this on the website. And once, you know, I would say that rebelbasecard.com, or if I put it on the Facebook, you know, either one, the website's not where I would kind of want it to be. I would like it to be, you know, a little more engaging, a little more content up there. Sometimes, you know, time just sort of prohibits, and you just sometimes you just can't find that right design or right vehicle for it. I appreciated the response back, and I thought just because I was putting a lot of information into this particular episode, I'd kind of give a shot at doing a little bit of a spoken word interview to kind of maybe channel my inner Henry Rollins. That didn't come out right. But because I thought it was a short set of responses, and I thought you'd kind of get a kick out of it. And once again, I will post this interview in its entirety on the website so you can read it. And interestingly enough, he has quite a number of credits to his name. He has sort of a nice animation type style to him. He's even done some work for animation projects such as Titan AE, if you remember that, amongst other ones. Anastasia, Bartok the Magnificent. We'll get to that here in a second. So I sent him some questions, and here are my questions and David's responses, and I hope you enjoy it. One of the things I wanted to start with was how far back do you remember drawing? And he said, I think I started around 5. I can't remember exactly what I was drawing at the time, probably the $6 Million Man, as I was obsessed with that show. I think I was always also drawing dinosaurs and made one out of clay. My mother was an art teacher, so she encouraged me a lot in drawing. You gotta love that. Not the first artist I've talked to that have had teachers as their inspiration or part of. I know my art teacher in grade school, big inspiration for me to try my hand at drawing. So I asked him, when did you first try to start selling your work? And he says, that started when I was still in college, so around 19. It was just a few random things for local businesses, and I built up from there. Over a few summers, I was working for myself as a street pavement artist, doing chalk drawings of public figures and copies of old master's paintings. People walking by would drop money into the box as they watched me work. I did quite well, though I still lived at home with my parents, so I didn't have many bills to pay. Following that, I started doing portrait drawing, selling my work for $5 a piece. When I graduated from college, I did some freelance work, but I was concentrating more on looking for a full-time job. So I asked him, who were some of your influences? And he says, they've changed over the years. Drew Struzan was a big influence for years, as was Ralph McQuarrie and Joe Johnston. Since I've been working more of a comic book style, my influence has been Jack Kirby, Carmine Infantino, Bruce Timm, and Darwin Cook. And once again, I'd mentioned he has sort of an animation type style, and I asked him, how's that working in animation influenced your artistic style? And he says, it definitely influenced some of my painting techniques as I was a background painter for some of Don Bluth's animated features, The Pebble and the Penguin, Anastasia, and Titan AE. So I was trained to paint in their style. So I worked in a lot of gouache, using a wet-on-wet technique, which is painting onto work which is not yet dry. so it gave it a bit of a soft blend. I work a lot more in Photoshop now, but I also try to learn to draw in a way that's influenced by animation, making my characters look a little more stylized. When I asked, how do you feel about your inclusion in the Star Wars Galaxy set? How do you feel about that series in particular? He was featured in Star Wars Galaxy 4, amongst other sets. It was great to be a part of, he says. Galaxy is one of my favorite series from Topps because it is art-themed. I love seeing the artist's interpretation of the world of Star Wars. I was a fan of the early sets from the 90s, and so I was excited to do base cards for the new sets. Hope I can do more in the future. I hope they will continue the what-if theme. That was one of the fun things about creating the art. You could let your imagination go free and place some of my favorite Star Wars characters in new situations we haven't seen before. I also asked him, do you prefer studio work or freelance? He said, I prefer my current setup, which is working at a full-time job, doing art for slot machines, and doing freelance on the side. I worked freelance for several years, and while it can be rewarding with some great opportunities, it doesn't always pay the bills. Nice thing about doing freelance now is I can pick the projects I want to do, rather than take as much as I can just to keep the money coming in. So I asked him what his current home studio or setup looks like. Honestly, nothing special, he says. Well, I just moved, so I have a computer set up in my bedroom where I work in Photoshop. I don't really have an art desk at the moment, although sometimes I use a little fold-out table for sketching. I usually just take my sketchbook around to some places like a coffee shop and draw. Of course, that was in some of the before times. I'm sure he's altering his style a bit. I asked him, what do you think when you see your sketches or art out there for sale on secondary markets? He says, most of the art I see are my sketch cards that were inserted into packs, so collectors are free to put them on eBay or sell them wherever. It's sad, though, when you hear of other artists who have had their work stolen, or sometimes you see people trying to pass off art as their own. I'm lucky I haven't had anything too serious happen to my work. When I asked him, do you engage at all with followers or fans, or where do you find it most comfortable to do so? He says, I sometimes engage with followers if they have a question about my work. And I have talked with plenty of people when I've had a table at conventions. Some of them would be returning customers who would commission me every year to do a new character in their book. I'm comfortable talking with them by email or in person. Either way is fine by me. So I asked him, what's the best place people can find you and your work online? And he gave the Instagram account, David Rabbit Art, and that is David RABBITTEART. And that's also his Twitter account, at David Rabbit. And you can also find a lot of the artwork on davidrabbit.com. So I had a very nice opportunity last week to do an interview with Australian sketch artist Brent Scotchmer, who resides in Western Australia in Perth. And, you know, to make the most of it, he wanted to do some breaking because it's very expensive to get cards out there. So he does kind of in batches, as it were. And we had a great conversation, and you'll be hearing that as I kind of call it the Summer of Scotch event here on the podcast. I'll be breaking this interview up into two episodes. One was a more traditional interview, and one was going over a break he did of the 2019 Chrome Legacy, which we really had a blast doing. He was putting together a video for YouTube, and as I got to watch him break, I was able to kind of, you know, we were kind of talking about the cards that he was breaking, talk about this a little bit, and so that kind of lent itself to, I thought, a great piece of audio, and I thought it was a little separate, and so I wanted to kind of have that as a standalone episode as well as the interview. Those will be coming up here starting next week. But we also had, you know, like I said, it was a long conversation, and he had some great stories. And one of them that didn't necessarily fall into either category was a meeting he had with Steve Sansweet from Rancho Obi-Wan. And it was a great little bit that I'm going to play for you tonight as sort of the preview of our conversations coming up as I dub it the Summer of Scotch, until somebody tells me to stop saying that. But otherwise, I hope you enjoy this little bit, this little sneak preview of what's to come. Anyway,
I wanted to bring up the Sansweet story. Like, my favorite Sansweet moment was, again, last Nashville last year. So do you know much about Star Wars toys at all? The vintage toys, Kenner line and stuff like that?
I'm desperately trying to find them in my condo because I had 11 of the first 12. I didn't have Princess Leia, to my shame.
Do you know what Yak Face is? It was the last figure. It was the last figure Kenner made for the Power of the Force line.
Oh, okay.
In 85 or 3 or whatever. And 85. And so it was only Kenner was kind of done with the toys and people weren't buying them anymore. But Yak Face and Anakin Skywalker, Anakin was available as a mail away, but he also came on a card back with the coin. And so Anakin and Yak were like the last two Kenner Power of the Force figures to be made. They were the ones that came with the coin. And so Kenner was just like, no one's buying them. Ship them all to Canada and Australia.
Oh.
Right? So finding a carded Yak Face or Anakin can only really happen here or there in Australia or Canada. And for that reason, they're very rare. So I, at a swap meet, a flea market, somebody threw open a garbage bag and threw these figures out on the ground. And there were four Star Wars figures from 1985 there. Lando in General's outfit, Anakin Skywalker, Yak Face, and Imperial Guard. $5 each. Mint on card, right? And I don't even, at this point, I don't even know Star Wars figures. Like, I don't know what they're worth, but I know they're 1985 and I'm a kid of the 80s. So I buy them. Who wouldn't buy a carded figure for $5, right? So I get them back to the car. Long story short, Anakin and Yak on their own are worth $15,000. Right? So they pay for new flooring in my house.
Good, you sold them. I was like, that's the happy ending right there. And yes, yeah. I sold them.
So then I got into vintage Star Wars figures. And so I subsequently have found two carded Yak Faces and two or three loose Yak Faces in Perth, Western Australia, where I am. It's only a million people here. Ridiculous. Probably no one ever finds stuff like that, you know, but I was a real wheeler dealer, swap meet flipper guy. So Nashville, do you know who Gus Lopez is? Mm-mm. Gus Lopez is like, he owns like most of the prototypes from Kenner. Like he's a real prototype collector. So he's good friends with Sansweet. So I'm talking to Gus. And as he comes up to my table at Nashville and he's just like, blah, 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 blah. I said, have you ever heard about the $5 Yak? And he goes, no. I said, I found a carded Yak Face for $5. I said, and then I found other Yak Faces in the bottom of tubs. I've never paid big money for a Yak Face. And he was just like, hold on 1 second. And he goes down, comes back with Steve Sansweet. He's just like, Steve, listen to this guy's story. And I tell him. And like, this is my favorite Steve Sansweet moment is that I think there is a photo somewhere someone took of me like this, like talking. And in front of me is Gus Lopez and Steve Sansweet. And Steve Sansweet is just like this. He's just like, he's shaking. I mean, this is a guy who's seen everything. And this guy, Steve Sansweet, is just going, that is incredible. Like he's just shaking his head, just going, what the hell? Like that. And I was just like, oh man, that's so good. I was like, oh, if you're ever in Australia, like we'll go swap meeting together. He's just like, deal.
If you have any feedback for tonight's episode, you can reach out to the program in a number of ways. You can leave a comment on the Instagram post for this episode. You can also DM me at Rebel Base Card. On Twitter, you can also find me at Rebel Base Card, as well as Facebook. You can also email the program, greg@rebelbasecard.com. You can find the show notes for this and all episodes on the website, rebelbasecard.com. In the Star Wars Card Trader app, you can find me at Cornfed Tech. If you are a sketch card artist or Star Wars artist, collector, cosplayer, want to talk about your work, your craft, your passion, please drop me a line and maybe we can work something out. I'd love to get a chance to talk to you. You can also help out the show by leaving a comment and review on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast from. You can help by subscribing as well. Otherwise, I implore you, keep those cards out of the hands of the Empire, and I'll talk to you soon.
The music for this podcast is brought to you under a Creative Commons license from Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. This is Discipline off the album The Slip.
This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds and any other related items are properties of their respective trademarks and or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.